Welcome, members and guests, to the April 18th program of City Club of Eugene. Welcome to our TV audiences on community television and the Oregon Wynn Network. I'm Mary Layton, City Club past president, subbing for Marty Wilde, who will be back next week. Thank you to KLCC for airing our programs at 6:30 on Monday nights for our radio listening audience. Our sponsors today are Evans Elder Brown, where achieving client expectations while maintaining integrity and professionalism is the ultimate goal. Gatos, Chernsign, and Balthrop PC, a law firm for our community. PacInfo, Internet Solutions. And a special thank you to KPFF Consulting Engineers for our office space. We thank you for listening. These programs are free for listening audiences, yet there are costs involved. Your contribution is completely tax deductible and will help keep our organization healthy. Today we have a panel of five, so I'm going to be brief. The presenters are Camilla Bayless, Fairmount Neighbors Association, Karen Hyatt, Assistant Director, Government and Community Relations and Neighborhood Liaison, University of Oregon, Kelly Putnam, West University Station Manager, Eugene Police Department, Paul Shang, Assistant Vice President for Student Affairs and Dean of Students, University of Oregon, and Lisa Gardner, Intergovernment Relations Manager for the City of Eugene. They will tell us how their ongoing collaborations are helping to maintain and improve livability through healthy town-gown relations. I think I'm just going to turn the program over now to Karen, who is the moderator, and she will lead us through our guests.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting us to speak to you today. Again, I'm Karen Hyatt, a member of the Government and Community Relations team at the University of Oregon. I serve as the neighbor liaison to our near-campus residential and business neighbors, the City of Eugene, and other partners with interest in quality of life issues near the campus edge. So first, some background. The term town and gown comes from Europe in the Middle Ages. It refers to the relationship, sometimes adversarial, between institutions of higher learning at which during the period students and faculty wore gowns, and non-institution-related people in the community. In modern times, the relationships between communities and universities have been positive in terms of economic development, employment opportunities, and intellectual innovation, but these communities also have sometimes experienced friction. Part of the reason we have been asked to speak with you today is because last month you heard from representatives of Collaboration Corvallis, an initiative to identify issues that impact the quality of life in near-campus neighborhoods. Their three-year process led to recommended changes for dealing with land use issues, parking and transportation, and neighborhood livability. You wanted to know if the University of Oregon, the City of Eugene, campus neighbors, and other partners have engaged in similar collaborative efforts. We'll try to not to compare too and contrast too much with our colleagues 40 miles up the road, but the simple answer is yes. While our approach has been a bit different, our conclusions about the impacts on campus neighborhoods are remarkably similar. Our particular town and gown relationship is that of a mid-sized city in a small mid-sized university in a small to mid-sized city. We are not a small town with a large university like my grad school alma mater, Bowling Green State University in Ohio, where in the 1990s, 17,000 students lived among 20,000 long-term community members. We are not even quite like Corvallis, where the student population today is almost 29,000 and the population of the town is 55,000. Not everyone in Eugene feels the shadow of the University of Oregon daily, but our close neighbors do. The University of Oregon story is one of recent growth. Between 2007 and 2011, enrollment grew from 20,000 students to almost 25,000 students. The last few years, our enrollment has intentionally stayed steady and will stay steady below 25,000 until we have increased classroom capacity and have hired enough faculty to accommodate more students. That said, in order to meet the state of Oregon's goal that by the year 2025, 40% of Oregonians have earned a four-year degree, every university in the state must grow substantially, and the time will come when the University of Oregon enrollment will grow again. Currently, 4,200 of our students live on campus in residence halls and in other UO-owned housing. That means most of the remaining 20,000-plus students live off campus. Students are scattered across all the Eugene, Springfield, and Lane County area, but the vast majority of students attending UO's main campus live in neighborhoods within a mile or two away. These neighborhoods have experienced a huge change in the past few years in terms of apartment construction and other density, parking, pedestrian bike traffic, parties, and noise. While Eugene has a longer history of town and gown issues, today we'll focus on neighborhood issues and initiatives from the past 5 years. During this recent period of growth, residential campus neighbors to the west, south, and east of campus took the initiative to engage partners whom they hoped could help. As a result, the Neighborhood Livability Workgroup was formed in 2010. Led by the City of Eugene and involving a committee of 20 people representing affected neighborhoods, UO staff and students, and property owners, the group assessed current conditions and current strategies to improve livability and identified new strategies. The group reported its progress to the Eugene City Council in September 2011 and received the go-ahead with some of the initiatives our panelists will discuss. The Neighborhood Livability Workgroup is just one example of the ways partners are working on these issues. Panelists will share additional examples. So many partners have been involved that we would have to speak much, much longer than our time allotted to accommodate all our partners. Besides the people who will share perspectives with you today, just some of the partners who have contributed to these efforts include, from the City of Eugene, Neighborhood Services, Municipal Court, Code Enforcement, the Rental Housing Program, Waste Prevention and Green Building, Parking Services, Planning and Development, Public Works, Transportation, and Parks and Open Space. From the University of Oregon, additional partners have included Parking and Transportation, International Affairs, Athletics, the Department of Geology Infographics Lab, Strategic Communications, the UO Police Department, Department of Planning, Public Policy and Management, and many student groups. We've also had great cooperation from area property managers and owners, and perhaps most importantly, many leaders from neighborhood associations and business associations who are affected by their proximity to campus. Before I finish my turn to speak, I'd just like to plug one city, university, and neighbor collaboration happening next month. On your tables are flyers about the annual Neighborhoods USA Conference taking place May 21st through 24th in Eugene. This conference, promoting neighborhood vitality, empowerment, and collaboration, is attended by 400 to 600 people from all over the country and the world. The conference includes 3 nationally known keynote speakers, 50 workshops, and 15 neighborhood pride tours. We're proud to share that in part of our partnerships, the conference features a workshop track devoted to town and gown topics, such as the issues we're talking about today. The conference is hosted by the City of Eugene, and partners in this effort include area neighbors, the University of Oregon, Travel Lane County, Eugene Area Chamber of Commerce, and dozens of nonprofit community and government partners. I am a member of the planning committee, so though I'm biased, I'm also confident that we've put together a really great conference. We encourage community members to attend. For the listening audience, more information is available on the City of Eugene Neighborhood Services website. On to our panel. Each panelist has been asked to briefly describe collaborations by partners that have improved neighborhood livability and near-campus issues still ripe for improvement. First, Camilla.
I'm Camilla Bayless, excuse me, a member of the Fairmount Neighbors Board. My husband and I moved into the neighborhood in 1972. We're still there because it's still a pretty good place to live. For the past 6 or 7 years, however, we've been bombarded with changes that pose serious threats to the livability of all of our campus neighborhoods. The biggest challenges have been related to parking and increasing numbers of student rentals. Many of our single-family historic homes have been converted into student rentals. Average number of residents in a house has shifted from 2 or 3 to 5 or more, and along with those 5 or more unrelated people come 5 or more cars. This resulted in a kind of hidden density, which for a long time went unnoticed by the city. In addition, a number of property owners have built secondary dwellings and other additions and rented them mostly to students. Some of those structures were illegally built, others are illegally rented. That has increased the density even more. In the higher density areas near Franklin Boulevard, we also have 3 very large private student complexes, and there's another large one under construction. Those units are intended specifically for students and are rented by the bedroom. With the increase in number of students, there's been an increase in noise, vandalism, unruly parties, and a number of other code violations. Sign vandalism has been a huge issue, especially in the West and South University areas. At about the same time those changes were occurring, the Fairmount neighbors faced parking and traffic issues related to the new Matthew Knight Arena. We had to work long and hard to convince the university and the city that we needed a conditional use permit to mitigate parking and traffic issues. While the other panel members will talk about a number of initiatives designed to address livability issues, I'm going to touch on three in which I've been personally involved. The first is specific to the Fairmount neighborhood, and that's NALC, the Neighborhood Arena Liaison Committee, which was formed to address issues related to the new Matthew Knight Arena. As part of the conditional use permit, some members of that committee are also on the arena monitoring committee to mitigate the impacts of the new arena on traffic, noise, and parking. Members include representatives from the city, the university, and the neighborhood. I joined the group in 2011 when I became co-chair of the Neighborhood Association. One of the results of the deliberations is the arena parking district. It was designed to encourage event goers to not park in the neighborhood. Overall, I'd say it's been a success, though there are still some parking problems in the blocks closest to the arena. The second initiative is the Neighborhood Livability Working Group that Karen mentioned. I joined the group in 2011, just after they had submitted this report, which is a very good read. I recommend it. It's on the City of Eugene website. The document lists a number of potential strategies for improving livability. Some of those strategies, such as the unruly parties ordinance, have already been implemented. Others, such as thunder cans, better code enforcement, have been carried out, but the impact's been limited. To address sign vandalism, neighborhood matching grants from the city have helped provide street signs and stop signs that are much more difficult to move than the old ones. I think one of the things the work group did was to help the university understand more fully the impact of student party and drinking behavior. As a result, they have established programs that Paul here will describe to address the issues. In addition, the Community Relations Office has worked hard to create continuing and positive relations with the neighborhoods through their Good Neighbor Project. When university students receive a police citation for such thing as prohibited noise, alcohol, or unruly parties, a letter signed by representatives from both the police and the university goes to both the tenants and the property owners. The third initiative was a livability summit hosted by Councillor Alan Zelenka in November 2011. Mayor Piercy and Councillor Zelenka were both present as representatives from all the near-campus neighborhoods discussed problems related to increased density, student behavior, land use code, and violations. Out of that meeting came a promise from the city that we would engage in special area land use planning, slated to begin in 2015 after the adoption of Envision Eugene. In the meantime, the City Council has passed some interim protection measures intended to help protect our neighborhoods from further negative consequences of infill development. In closing, the Livability Working Group suggested one strategy that I think merits a big investment of collaborative energy on all of our parts. I'd like to see the city and the university work with the neighborhoods to establish a home ownership and investment program in which families would be provided incentives to purchase and rehabilitate single-family homes that had been used as student rentals. The time is ripe right now. With all the new private student complexes being built, there may be less demand for the smaller homes, making them potentially more affordable. The Fairmount, South University, and Amazon neighborhoods share some fine neighborhood schools and excellent and well-used parks. We'd love to see more families move in to enjoy them. Thank you.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Paul Shong. I'm Assistant Vice President and Dean of Students. I'm delighted to be here today and to speak on the topic of the university's relationship with the city and the surrounding neighborhoods. This is a topic with which I'm very familiar and has been an important part of the university's activities since I've been here. While I might seem to be speaking from a student affairs perspective primarily, after all I am the Dean of Students, I want to emphasize that many different university agencies, including the University of Oregon Police Department, the Office of Government and Community Relations, Department of Athletics, and many of the other groups, certainly all the other groups that Karen has mentioned, participate in the discussions about the relationship with the city of Eugene and our neighbors. This underscores the importance placed on these relationships by our president, Michael Godfredson, and our vice president for student affairs, Robin Holmes. The university has been a vigorous partner on the Neighborhood Livability Work Group. From a student affairs perspective, it is important that we all recognize those factors which have an impact on student success and the livability in the neighborhoods, such as the abuse of alcohol and other drugs. We want to make sure that the perspectives of students are presented, including student government and fraternities and sororities, and that the proper messaging is delivered regarding safety and behavior expectations. On your tables, you'll find an example. It's called Your Neighbors and You. This is something that is illustrative of the different kinds of material that we make available to our students and that we give to them at different occasions. One of the very first meetings I attended when I arrived in May of 2009 was the Campus Partners meeting, and I have attended every one since. This is a quarterly meeting. We in the Dean's Office and the Division of Student Affairs have been very involved with partners on campus and the community to improve the experience of students and our neighbors. We care about our Eugene and campus communities, our students, and our neighbors, and have been encouraged and engaged in relevant conversations ranging from the development and adoption of the Unruling Gatherings Ordinance and the arming of the University of Oregon Police Department. My staff and I are accustomed to interacting with presiding judges, the Eugene Police Department, City Council, and staff from Lane County Public Health. Just the other day, a new staff person, relatively new staff person, Jennifer Summers, our Director of Substance Prevention and Student Success, met with our Vice President, Dr. Robin Holmes, and I to discuss the implementation of recommendations made by the Presidential Task Force on Alcohol and Other Drugs. I say this to let you know that we plan to continue to focus on issues which have an impact on students and their experiences in the Eugene community. We also have a dynamic new director for fraternity and sorority life, Justin Shukas, who has already had an impact on students and their activities in neighborhoods, and who, along with Jen, regularly attends the Campus Partners meetings. I say this to let you know that we continue to think about the university's relations with our neighbors and the city of Eugene, and that even more programs and activities will be coming in the future to improve those relationships and to support the high quality of living that we all enjoy here in this community. I know that there will be questions coming up later, so I just thought I would very quickly go through the list of all those things that are part of the Office of the Dean of Students, and that's on this little card here that's on your desks, on your tables. The Student Government Association here is a very active student government association with control of over $14 million in student I-fees. It also has contracts throughout the city, including one with LTD. Conflict resolution services is something that we provide to students as well as neighbors in resolving different kinds of conflicts that might exist in or might take place in the neighborhoods. Also, the conflict resolution services are provided in support of students who are caught up in the unruly gatherings ordinance, who are charged. We are also responsible for off-campus student resources and programs, and some of the most prominent amongst these include our housing fair, which is always very, very popular and takes place every year in the spring, as well as Communiversity, which is an ongoing series of different activities where students interact with other students in the neighborhoods and talk with them about the appropriate relationships to have with and respect for neighborhood norms and how to have safe parties and parties that will be trouble-free. We also sponsor such events as the Day of Service, and we have one coming up this Saturday with Government and Community Relations and the Student Alumni Association. And this is to work in South University and West University neighborhoods. And the Day of Service is Saturday, April 19th, and we have a huge number of registrants this year, almost 200. So I think that there's a lot of different areas where our students are involved in the neighborhoods and really do a lot of things and are cognizant of their responsibilities. Sexual violence and prevention is part of my responsibilities, as well as student conduct and community standards. So all of the conduct kinds of issues come through the Office of the Dean of Students. Substance abuse prevention and student success is another one of our areas, as well as fraternity and sorority life. I want to mention the ASUO Women's Center because Take Back the Night, which is a protest about sexual assault and has implications with regard to the city of Eugene, is this Thursday, April the 24th, and all of you are encouraged and welcome to participate. So that's just a really quick, and it's not even a comprehensive list, but I know that there will be questions later, and want you to know since the Office of the Dean of Students is involved in these kinds of considerations with regard to the livability in the city of Eugene and in the neighborhoods, that we have a lot of different services that are part of our responsibilities and some responsibilities as well with regard to the education and the interaction with our students. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Kelly Putnam. I'm with Eugene Police Department. Eugene Police Department. I manage the West University Public Safety Station that's at the corner of 13th and Alder. I also manage several prevention or several programs that kind of fall under the crime prevention umbrella. I was asked to join the Livability Working Group about 4 years ago. And so when I first started attending those meetings, what we were hearing from neighbors was a lot of frustration. Frustration over our lack of response to their complaints regarding livability issues, noise complaints, party complaints. So we tried to come up with some strategies that we could use, utilizing resources already at our disposal that were kind of outside of enforcement, because unfortunately, you know, we just didn't have the ability to increase enforcement at that point. Obviously, on a Friday and Saturday night, we're pretty busy, and we've got to triage the calls for service that we get. And the fact of the matter is that loud noise and nuisance complaints sometimes kind of fall to the bottom of that list. So we aren't always able to respond like the neighbors would like us to. So we decided we had some programs that we could use that were a little underused. One of those is called the Rental Property Program, and it's something that we've had for several years. And what it does is if you own rental property or manage rental property in Eugene, you can give us a call. It's a free service we provide, and we put you into the database with all of your addresses. And then anytime there's a police call for service initiated at one of your properties, whether we were able to respond or not, it generates an automatic email to you and lets you know. It gives pretty basic information, but it lets you know what the nature of the call was, what the disposition was, those types of things. So what we did was I started every Monday, would come into the office, and I would collect. Basically, I would go through the previous week, and I would pull out all of the loud party and all of the loud noise complaints. And what I was doing was kind of comparing those against the database for the rental property program. And if those addresses were not in the rental property program, I would write a letter to the property owner letting them know we had had a party complaint and inviting them to join this program. So we really built the base of the rental property program. So I would venture to say that well over 90% of all the rental properties in the near campus neighborhoods now are members of the rental property program. So they all get an automatic email anytime anything is happening. And that's a good way to keep the landlords informed. My experience has been that the landlords want to be very proactive. They just need to know what's occurring, and they may not always hear it from their tenants. So the other thing we started doing was information sharing. One of the frustrations that we heard from neighbors was they kind of stopped calling because they felt like we either weren't responding or they didn't know if we responded. They didn't know what the outcome was. So along with that weekly data that we collected, we generated an email to the university and to all the stakeholders and the neighborhood groups, giving them kind of a synopsis of the prior week, what the complaints were, did we or did we not respond, are they members of the rental property program, and if we did respond, was there any enforcement action taken? So we got a lot of positive feedback from that as well, that they liked to be informed. That way they knew what was happening, and their frustrations went down quite a bit. So those were some of the things that we did. Another thing that we did was we assigned a patrol officer and a patrol lieutenant to act as liaisons between the university and the department. And so we have, you know, a specific Lieutenant McGann, who's in the audience today, is the liaison for the university at this time. And we also have an officer who acts in that capacity. And so anytime fraternities or sororities or any groups from the university who have questions, they want to talk to a police officer about, you know, what the laws are, what the rules are, what is appropriate and not appropriate, one of those two will go to the meeting and provide, you know, provide a talk, answer questions, and really work together with the students and the university groups to kind of make sure everybody's on the same page. The other thing that we've been doing that's more related to property crimes, because unfortunately the students also tend to be victimized quite frequently when it comes to property crimes, not just the neighbors in the neighborhoods, but the students as well. Unfortunately, they're kind of a high target. So we have sent crime prevention staff 3 or 4 times a year out into the near campus neighborhoods to provide crime prevention information. We'll go door to door, give them tips for keeping their property safe and themselves safe. The other thing that we did in conjunction with the university is the joint letter that was mentioned briefly before, and we found that to be extremely successful. Karen's office puts out the letter, and anytime the police respond to an address in the near campus neighborhoods and contact is made with a tenant, whether there was a citation issued or not, if they were warned or advised, the university sends out this joint letter to the tenants and the property owner, letting them know that they're aware of what's happened and the expectations of the university and the city in regards to being a good neighbor. And that letter is signed by Paul Shong and Chief Kearns and Chief McDermott from the University of Oregon Police Department, as well as Michael Kinnison, who's the Director of Neighborhood Services. And then lastly, the strategy that we came up with that we didn't already have, and that was the unruly gathering ordinance, that we kind of came up with that idea while some of us attended the International Town and Gown Association conference in Boulder a few years ago. And there were pretty much every one who spoke that had great success had instituted a social host ordinance or an unruly gathering ordinance. And basically it's just another tool that we can use that if we come upon a party and alcohol is being served and 2 or more offenses are occurring, we can additionally issue an unruly gathering citation, which has a potential civil penalty attached to it on subsequent offenses, not only for the person who receives a citation, but for the property owner. And that just adds another layer of accountability. And that's been very successful as well. And while we can't really, it's too soon to talk about data and numbers, what we've been hearing from all the stakeholders overwhelmingly is that these things have all seemed to have a pretty good impact. And a couple of years down the road, when we've got some really good numbers, something to work with, we'll be able to come back and give you some numbers on how much we've managed to all decrease the livability issues in the near campus neighborhoods. Thanks.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Gardner. I'm the Government Relations Manager at the City of Eugene. And I'm going to talk about some of the partnerships that the city has with both neighborhood and the university. My other fellow panelists have touched on some of the programs. I'm going to give a little more depth to some of the programmatic ways that the city has been invested in working with the university and the neighborhood to address some of these issues. But I also want to step up a little bit and talk about some of the broader partnerships that you may or may not be aware of. And looking at the City Club website describing today's panel, it mentions some of the benefits the university brings to the community in terms of research and innovation, economic development, and employment opportunities. They bring new ideas, resources, and diverse people into our community. And I spend a lot of my time, especially recently, working on some of these economic development programs, and I'll talk a little bit about that. But I also wanted to mention just there's some sort of less formal fun ways that we partner to celebrate the presence of the university here. And some of you may recall a couple of years ago when the Ducks went to the national championship, we had what we called, I think it was the Parade of Champions. And while the Ducks were not successful ultimately in their quest for a national championship, it was a bleak January time of year, and it was an opportunity to really celebrate not just what the football team did, but as a university and as a community, there have been lots of things we were working towards, and we wanted to do this parade as a way to physically connect the university campus area to our downtown. As many of you know, there's been a lot of great things happening downtown. So while some people saw a green and yellow filled downtown party, it was actually a very thoughtfully planned and intentional event. I was part of the parade walking it, and one of the things I noticed, first of all, it was lined with people, and the cheers were as loud for the professors as they were for the players and coaches. And I think those walking the parade were really surprised at the proximity. It was not that far of a walk. We think of those as distinct areas, and especially in terms of commercial and retail, but they're really much more closer, and they're getting more linked through some of the downtown development. So just talking about some of the economic development collaborations, and then I'll go through some of the specific programs that both Paul and Camilla touched on. We've been working with the University of Oregon and others, LCC, to talk specifically about some of our economic development opportunities. We worked over the past year on something called the Regional Accelerator Innovation Network, or RAIN, and with City of Springfield, Corvallis, Albany, Oregon State, and a number of businesses, the Chamber of Commerce. The purpose of that is to accelerate commercialization of university-based and assisted research, fostering startup businesses, encouraging retention of high-tech, high-paying jobs in Eugene, which is an issue that we see, and one of the reasons it's harder to kind of keep our economy going and growing. And as part of that partnership, we received $3.7 million from the legislature to pursue that. More recently, we've been working on something called the Investing in Manufacturing Communities Partnership. All this to say that the university is an economic driver in our community that we all benefit from, and we work very closely with them to pursue those opportunities. So talking about some of the more specific University of Oregon and city partnerships, as was mentioned, I think, by Paul, we partner with the U of O on the Welcome Walk. It was started in 2009. I've personally walked it several times. It's a very fun thing to do. It's eye-opening. Some of the students that open the doors are not ready for visitors. But it's to celebrate the start of the academic year, welcoming the students back to Eugene. It helps to acknowledge the great value that students contribute as part of our community. It also supports them in being successful, building positive relationships, and learning how to be neighbors. There's about 75 people that walk in small groups. We cover 70 city blocks that go door to door. Paul showed you, I think, one of the door hangers that we hand out. We encourage the students to meet their neighbors, introduce themselves, and be good neighbors. Among the many participants are the mayor, the police chief, the University of Oregon police chief. President Gottfredson and his predecessors have been part of that. The city manager, dean of students, and others have participated. So it's a pretty fun event. There's also, as Camilla mentioned, the Neighborhood Livability Work Group. We have put a lot of work into that, specifically the neighborhood office at the city. It started in March of 2010. Over 40 people gathered at a livability summit that was organized by the residents and a partnership with the University of Oregon. I think in part it was, or in large part, response to the neighbors' long-term frustration with these increasing impacts, quality of life that we're talking about today, specifically from noise and other undesirable behaviors, and was focusing on some of those impacts at targeting also a very specific issue, which is the alcohol and binge drinking and what happens over the weekends around that. The group heard stories of impacts on behaviors, they reviewed current efforts, and they discussed a need for creative solutions. The working group began meeting in July. It was facilitated by the city's neighborhood services program, and five stakeholder groups were identified: the city, the university, the neighborhood associations, property owners and managers, and students. And I just want to talk briefly about some of the accomplishments that have come out of that. A catalog of negative behaviors and impacts document, the gathering of data on crime and other neighborhood characteristics, assessing the progress to date on implementing strategies recommended by the West University Task Force from 2003, documenting current efforts to protect neighborhood livability, conducting research on best practices in other communities, and identifying a diverse mix of strategies to work on. There was a large number of, So I'm going to move on to a couple of other specific programs that we have instituted. One of them is the Thunder Cans, and I think that was briefly mentioned. It's kind of a fun, whimsical PR campaign. It's loosely based on Don't Mess with Texas anti-littering campaign. And as we talked about with the going door-to-door process, there's a number of ways in which students haven't yet learned to live in neighborhoods. It's often the first time they've lived outside of a dorm, away from their parents' homes. They're in apartment complexes where they're responsible for trash collection and recycling. And one of the issues has been the container staying out on the curb endlessly, going out too early and never really leaving. And so this campaign was to target that specifically, teaching the students what the protocol was. We have a city ordinance that says, I think, and I correct me if I'm wrong, Michelle, but it's, I think, can't put your cans out before 7. They're supposed to be gone by midnight the next night. And so the thunder, as part of the thunder can, was the sound of the empty containers being rolled back to your driveway or home. And so it's fairly clever, and those pieces have gone out. Rental agency and owner outreach, neighbors, the city waste prevention coordinators all walked through in late September and October. And it, more than anything, triggers an opportunity for education and positive engagement before contacting code enforcement. So it's meant to be a proactive effort. Parking has been mentioned as one of the key impacts in areas where we have needed to do some work, and there's been a tremendous amount of work done. The City of Eugene and the University of Oregon's parking programs work together to deliver the transportation services. Both organizations manage daily parking, monthly parking, parking maintenance, and all those details. We continue looking for opportunities to share our resources. The city parking manager and the UO parking transportation director regularly attend neighborhood meetings and block parties to discuss parking and transportation issues. Recently, the city switched contract vendors to the university to manage the city residential parking program. This is a great partnership opportunity because the majority of the city's permit demand is from the neighborhoods around the University of Oregon, so it's more direct interaction contact. It gives the university an opportunity to interact with their neighbors and campus customers, and the city benefits from increased customer satisfaction from UO staff that already interact with students and campus customers every day. So moving on, just to touch a little bit on code enforcement, the university and code compliance are working together to help protect the quality and livability of our neighborhood and community. We've partnered in a number of ways. One is, as has been mentioned, is the Neighborhood Livability Work Group. I've talked about some of the specific pieces, the thunder can. Neighborhood associations serve as complainants and submit neighborhood concerns. So trying to get a better understanding of our code and our process, working to educate realtors, property managers on occupancy standards, and that's a real issue. I think one of the things that happens is while these houses are technically built for 4, and that's the limit, we see people report when they see ads for units of over 5. And then just really quickly to finish up, planning, and I'm sure there'll be some questions around this, but there's been a tremendous amount of work done around Envision Eugene. It was Camilla mentioned the area planning efforts that are happening, and there's been a lot done around infill and compatibility measures. So I'll stop there.
And now it's time for us to break and talk at our tables to form questions for these panelists. Thank you.
You are tuned to KLCC Eugene 89.7, 90.5 KLCO Newport, KLFR Reedsport 89.1, and at 88.1 KMPQ Roseburg, KLFO Florence, KLBR Bend, and on the web at klcc.org.
Welcome back to the City Club program, Growing Forward, Maintaining Livability Through Better Town Gown Relations on April 18th. Our guest speakers are Lisa Gardner, Camilla Bayless, Karen Hyatt, Kelly Putnam, and Paul Shong. And I want to point out, Camilla mentioned a report in her few minutes in the first part, and I'm just going to give you the title. It's called Neighborhood Livability Working Group. Neighborhood Livability Working Group, a progress report on recommendations for improving the campus area livability, September 2011. If you Google it, you can probably find a copy that you can read. Now it's time for questions.
I believe this question is for Paul. My name is Joel Curran. I've been a City Club member since 2012. With 80% of your students, over 80%, living off campus, are there any plans to build new university-owned campus housing? And if so, has land been identified?
Thank you very much. Again, I'm Paul Shong. I'm Assistant Vice President and Dean of Students. The university has been considering building additional residence halls. We want to be and already are a residential campus, but we would like to have a lot of other activities on campuses, on our campus for students, as including the opportunity to live on campus. So that is something that's being discussed, and I don't know that the land has actually been identified, but I do know that we have been having discussions about building another residence hall.
I'm Darnell Mandelblatt. I live downtown, so I'm your neighbor. I'm from downtown. I want to speak ask a question on behalf of some other folks who are neighbors to all of us, and that is the homeless. Whereas sometimes city neighborhoods don't welcome students, I'm hearing recently that the university is objecting to a city proposal to set up the homeless rest stops in parking lots at Autzen. And that seems to me like an example of the university not welcoming a group of its own neighbors who are the homeless, who are among us all, and whom we now see we really need to provide life and survival for, as well as we do for the rest of us. So my question is that true, that the university is objecting to that kind of a rest stop setup, and how can we think about that together?
Great. Thanks for that question, Darnell. This is Karen again with the University of Oregon Community Relations. That's definitely a perplexing problem for all of us, and first I want to say that the university is very interested in the issue of homelessness. Student, faculty, and staff have been showing a lot of concern with the things that have been going on for years, but especially recently. The Department of Philosophy is actually organizing a conference on the topic of homelessness for next fall, and Mayor Piercy has asked to be involved in that and have us really have a community conversation about that. And also, we very much care about low-income Oregonians, and every eligible student has the opportunity to apply for the Pathway Oregon Scholarship, which allows students who are eligible to have tuition and fees paid as well as housing sometimes. We do have the university is paying attention also to the location of, I know we've been struggling with these location issues of where we might have these rest stops, and is concerned about the safety of students going back and forth across Alton Baker Park in that area, so has shared just thinking of those same concerns that we have for safety of our students.
I'm Randy Prince, a City Club member, also chair of the Amazon neighborhood, which is one of the near campus neighborhoods, and I know myself and many people live in our neighborhood, we really do appreciate the benefits of the university for livability, not just economic, but whether it's the lecture series or the library, the concerts, even the sports events. The university has been quite helpful, the Olympic trials. Problems have been fewer than might have been due to a good attitude there. So it's hard to get too much of that. There are some things that, as was mentioned, they're too much. Too many students trying to fit into homes that were designed for families. They may have big yards for parties, but it's not really the best. And this impacts us. And I was concerned a few years back. I went to an economic forecast, a survey, the beginning of Envision Eugene. And as I recall, there really wasn't much information about the university's population, the enrollment. We were kind of in the dark on that. And it turns out during that period, the university grew by thousands. The amount of housing that the university provided grew just by a few hundred because the focus was on improving and replacing. So, as the university, Karen mentioned, as you catch up, as you're frozen here at this time, because they need to catch up on classrooms and professors, what I want to know is when might neighbors and the city of Eugene expect to learn how much will that growth? Because you just told us that it's going to grow more. How big? Are we going to challenge Arizona State 60,000? We need to know this. And so if we know the number of students that we expect to have, also what is the university's goal about providing housing? Do you feel that it will all be provided by private parties, or will you attempt to provide 50% of that additional growth when it resumes? These are what I'm curious about, and it makes a big difference to us as neighbors.
So again, this is Karen with Community Relations at the U of O. So I attend, part of my job is to attend all the neighborhood association meetings, and I try to get there as often as possible. And so when I hear that the university is gonna decide to grow, that's gonna be one of the first things that I'm sharing with the neighbors. So we are trying to stay in real good contact about that and be honest about what we're thinking right now is at some point that will happen again, and we're going to work really hard to keep everybody informed.
And this is again Paul Shong. It's true, we don't really know when the university is planning to grow again. And the issue, of course, for us right now is to make sure that we have the faculty and the classroom space and all the other things, the support services and everything else, to best serve the students that we have and to anticipate providing services to students who may be coming in the future. And that's why we're being vague about this, and it's a financial question, and it does have to do with also trying to keep pace with the kinds of services and the quality of the education that we want to provide.
Hi, my name is Marlene Nesri. I'm a City Club member, and at my table we were puzzling over the perennial parking problems. And so we have kind of a twofold question. The first one is, what are the details of the parking rules and regulations that have evolved around the Matthew Knight Arena? And secondly, what about the idea of having a looping shuttle on campus? We know that other campuses have done this as a way of trying to help move the traffic and visitors who are trying to take advantage of the wonderful opportunities at the university.
Thanks. I'll take it might be Camilla and me answering this. This is again Karen with the U of O. Thoughts about parking on campus have really evolved over the last few years, and we've actually hired a full parking and transportation director and staff and are trying to be strategic and thoughtful about the parking on campus. And they recently brought in a nationally known consultant to really strategize about how we can do better parking. And we know that shuttles are one thing that works at a lot of universities, so we're trying to do that. Camille and I are both very involved as we talked about the parking around Matthew Knight Arena. And I think Camilla described it a little bit that with the hourly parking around the Fairmount neighborhood now is more regulated than it used to be. And so in general, the Fairmount neighbors feel a lot of relief. But in exchange for that, there was the ability to be able to park in the arena district during men's basketball games. And so and that helps pay for the enforcement of the neighborhood. And so it's a, I think it's, as Camilla was saying, something that's working pretty well and we're still working on.
And this is Camilla from the Fairmount Neighbors. Specifically, in the parking district, it's limited to two-hour parking, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m., 365 days a year. Residents within the parking district get, I think it's two free permits per household. And there are also guest permits available that we can get for free when guests want to park for longer than 2 hours. So that's the agreement. And again, it's working really well, except for the men's basketball games near the arena, because basketball games usually run only 2 hours. So we still have some issues there.
I'm Dina Wills, City Club member. And I also live at 11th and Patterson. We're looking at a very large building on 12th, and there's another one down on 13th. Both are still yellow, but they're going to be full another year and a half. I want to know about organizing. I know Fairmount Neighborhood really got some cooperation from the university, and it may not have been that easy. Can you give us some organizing tips on three issues: loud parties, parking problems, and drugs and alcohol? And this all happens on the weekends when nobody's on duty except the Dean of Students Office person with the 24-hour beeper. How do you organize against these problems? How did you?
This is Camilla again from Fairmount Neighbors. I guess a lot of the organizing went on as part of the livability working group. Okay. And at that time, we all kind of got to know each other. And what we tell all of our neighbors is, if there's a loud party, if there's a noise violation, call the non-emergency police number and report it. Even though they're frequently not able to respond, all of those calls go into a database.
Okay.
And the landlords are notified of every call. So it's important to keep calling even if the police can't come for a specific call.
Okay. And this is Karen again. I would also share that the university also set up a good neighbor email so that we want to hear that neighbors have called the police in the moment, because that's who has jurisdiction. And then afterwards, you're also encouraged to email goodneighbor@uoregon.edu, and that helps us hear about the situation as well. It comes into a bunch of us at the U of O, and we see that and can also know that issue occurred. So please feel free to use that.
And if I could jump in real quick, this is Kelly Putnam with Eugene Police Department. As far as the criminal complaints go, anytime you see a crime occurring, obviously you want to call the non-emergency number or 911 if appropriate. The other thing to keep in mind is that most of the commercial properties as well as multifamily units in the West University neighborhood have trespass letters on file. So if there are folks, you know, with open containers or, you know, on those properties that are causing problems and should not be there, you can be the complainant on that. That's one of the things that the trespass letter allows for. So that the owner of that property is giving the Eugene Police Department the authority to act as the agent of the property owner. So, you know, if there is a problem, a crime, a trespassing complaint, you can certainly call the non-emergency number, and that can be dealt with.
I'm Merlin Huff, City Club member for a few years, and I'm asking this question on behalf of another table. Have you looked at changing the student code of conduct to off-campus behavior?
Again, this is Paul Shang. Yes, we have looked at that. Actually, that's been a topic of conversation for a couple of years. And I think that our faculty have been very good who live in those neighborhoods in terms of articulating why it is that we need to consider expanding the code of conduct to include transgressions off campus. I want to emphasize, though, that in addition to the code, the other piece of it that's really, really important is the enforcement aspect. We have to be notified that students or other people are not behaving appropriately. There has to be contact with police, either UOPD or the Eugene Police Department. And the enforcement is what helps make the code something that's real and something that would be possibly a deterrent.
I'm Robin Fletcher, and I've been a member since 2004. Our table wondered, what kind of jurisdiction does the campus police have off campus? Is there a move to give them more authority over students who live off campus?
This is Karen, and I'll take that question. So the University of Oregon Police Department became a fully sworn police department about a year ago and is currently in the process of having all officers trained so that they can be fully sworn. It's still taking us time. We have some folks on every shift who have all those abilities, and now we're trying to get everybody trained. So that's going to take another 3 to 5 years. After that, if we're going to consider some being able to have UOPD in campus neighborhoods, there need to be an MOU signed with the Eugene Police Department. We need to figure out all those protocols so we can work together. So it's down the road a ways, and we'll see how we get there.
Hi, my name is James Baldock. I've been a City Club member since 2012. I'm going through this nifty book, and it notices that there's a maximum of 5 unrelated people per dwelling. And I have a question about that, because family of 7 living in a home, okay. 7 students move in, suddenly it's illegal. Mike, this seems to me to be an example of a number of laws that basically target students with civil penalties or financial penalties. I want to have the panel's opinion whether it is fair or just to take students who have very little income and are often in debt and target them with additional laws and additional fines. Thanks.
Well, I'm happy to address that. We also have some code enforcement folks here in the audience who would probably be willing to answer that type of question afterwards as well. But I think that the primary reason is if you've got a family of 7 living in a house, more than likely they don't have 7 vehicles. You know, it's a family with, you know, 2 vehicles, maybe 3 vehicles, depending on the ages of their children. And it's one family unit. If you've got 7 unrelated students, probably each one has a vehicle. Each one creates their own garbage, their own. It's seven separate entities. They're not a family unit. And I don't think it's targeting any one group of people necessarily. I think it's just a question of, you know, of, how do I say it? Just numbers in general. A question of, you know, can this neighborhood sustain, you know, that number of vehicles, that number of people, and all of their, you know, their guests and just those types of things in general. But Rochelle and Stuart are here from code enforcement, and they may be able to answer those questions better for you afterwards.
Bob Cassidy, City Club member. It was good to hear that the two-hour limits in the Fairmont neighborhood and other neighborhoods is working somewhat. That has caused the U of O staff and students to move just beyond that, so they are coming into our neighborhood now. This is a problem for garbage pickup and for street sweeping. The cars are parked there all day, and it poses a problem. When that area is expanded for the two-hour limit, is that by street, or does that need a whole neighborhood survey to go about doing something like this? Can we just keep expanding the streets until we move them far enough away so that it's not walking distance anymore? Bus transportation. Thank you.
This is Lisa Garnt, the City of Eugene. I mean, I think that's what we've been working on closely, to try to identify where the most appropriate places are to do that and the most effective strategies. And I think working more closely with the university and they're having more direct involvement with that. I mean, we could just keep doing it until they have to park in Springfield and take MX back in. So you raise a good point. I think certainly we can study areas where there's additional impact. I can't tell you more today about what the specific process is. But I'd encourage you to continue work with your neighborhood association and work with the neighborhood's office at the City of Eugene.
And this is Karen from the U of O. I have been at Amazon meetings, neighborhood meetings, where I know the parking services director, Jeff Petrie from the City of Eugene, has also been there having these discussions with Amazon. So I think we have a really innovative and flexible parking staff that are willing to work with neighbors on those issues.
Ruth Dimler. This is always a university topic, but some of your architects have talked about having a design committee set up to avoid some of the catastrophes we've had as of late. I've seen homes that have had their value greatly reduced because of the poor selection and the poor design of buildings right up next to them. And I was wondering if there's been a statement throughout the neighborhood associations and so on urging a design committee. Other cities have it, and I think they really benefited from it.
This is Camilla from Fairmount Neighbors. I'll start. Maybe other people will want to chime in. We're hoping, at least for the near-campus neighborhoods, to address those issues through the special area planning, where we might well have design considerations incorporated. But I can't really speak to the rest of the city, unless you have something to add, Lisa.
Well, I would just say that there's been a lot of work done with the infill and compatibility process. And so the goal is to look at what specific kinds of things can we look at. I know that there have been measures taken to lower allowable heights and look at open space and sort of how the relationship of the building to the street. I think that has certainly been discussed on the Planning Commission and talked about. It's a tricky thing, it's complex, and it's resource intensive, but I think, as Camilla said, it could be a consideration in the area planning process, how to look at that in a way that's not so onerous that it's difficult to do. Because sometimes, and I will say this from my experience in planning, sometimes a prescribed code or process has unintended consequences, and one of the things we're trying to do is be more flexible and nimble in how we apply the code, because there can be very attractive, compatible building designs that wouldn't meet the code, and there might be some that do meet the code that are less attractive. And so those are just really complex issues that I think you'll have an opportunity to look at more closely.
I would urge a separate design committee, mm-hmm. not part of the planning, but a separate committee that really considers design as very important. I grew up in a city like that, and we had a great committee on design, and from the university that was there, UCLA. And it really benefited, I think, everyone.
I'd like to thank our panel for their bringing clarity and vision to our understanding of collaboration between the university and the community and our neighbors. Let's let them hear our appreciation. Again, thanks to our sponsors, Evan Elder Brown, Gatos, Churnside, and Balthrop, and PAC Info. We meet again next Friday on April 25th, right here at the Downtown Athletic Club, for a debate between the two candidates for the West Lane County Commissioner position, incumbent Jay Bozovich and challenger Don Leslie. And we're only having this debate in the campaign season because this is one of the few that will be decided in the primary, we think. Lunches for this program can be ordered on City Club's website or by contacting the office. Thank you very much.